You're listening to Simpler One Earth Living from Jubilee One Earth Economics and Simple Living Works with co-hosts Lee Van Ham and Jerry Iverson. Today we feature a conversation with Lori Payer, leader of Strong Women of the Four Directions, a Native woman who lives in the Siouxland region of the U.S., where three states connect, Iowa, South Dakota, and Nebraska.
This is the second of two podcasts that we have created on with interviewing Native people. Be sure you listen to the first one as well if you haven't. As we listen to Lori today, we'll be able to appreciate again the willingness of Indigenous people to collaborate. This hasn't always been the case, and it now behooves all of us to figure out how we can get to the place of really seeking out partnerships with Native people and cooperating in these collaborations. So I ask you, if you're part of a congregation, think about this. Do you know, does your congregation know on whose land you've been meeting? Remember, all of this land was stolen. So does your congregation understand and recognize ever who lived there so long ago and before them? And if some congregations have actually invited a Native person to come so they can talk with them and ask permission to meet on the land. There's kind of a formula that's being used, a protocol in many places. I know that this has been done at San Diego State University here in San Diego, for example. Or if you're part of a campus, you know, have you recognized the Native people there or part of a business? So what do you know of the Natives, the Indians who lived there first? It's so important to find out.
Greetings, Lee, from Paso Robles, California, and Simple Living Works.
And I greet you, Jerry, from San Diego, and Jubilee One Earth Economics. I'm just grateful for the interviews you've done with the two Native people. One of the questions that comes up for, maybe all of us, but I'm sure for many of our listeners, and Jerry and I have certainly thought about this a lot. What's the right language? Indians, Native Americans, Native, Indigenous? Well, this might be a helpful quote to you, because in Sun Magazine, the most recent issue is the August 2019 issue. The interview there is with Paul Chott Smith. He's the associate curator of the National Museum of the American Indian. He's been the associate curator there since 2001. That's part of the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. So here's what he says. In my work, I use Indian and Native American interchangeably. In the United States, most Native Americans actually prefer Indian, but there is a growing objection to its use. In Latin America, Indian is often used as a slur. In Canada, they use First Nations and also Aboriginal, and for the Arctic inhabitants, Inuit. But the legislation that details the relationship of Canada's government to its Native people is called the Indian Act. Well, some people object to the word Indian because it's inaccurate, a result of Christopher Columbus not knowing where he was when he landed in the West Indies. And Paul Chott Smith says, I get that. And some would say, forget Native American. Call us by our specific tribal names. But most of us have more than one tribal ancestry now. And of course, we're not always 100% Indian. So it gets complicated. Most of us in the United States don't consider Indian a slur, but we recognize that some non-Indians do. Of course, this is also a question of who gets to be in charge of the language, and generally it's white people. So it seems that one of the best ways to do it is when we're developing an acquaintance with a Native person is just to ask what their preference is, so that way they have the authority to do the naming. And And we acknowledge that right, so that we aren't, as the white people, doing the naming, or as the non-indigenous people, as a way I prefer to talk about it, doing the naming. I have a couple other quotes I'd like to share before we move on into this valuable interview. This one is from my book, Eagles to Eden, Our Heroic Journey to Keep Earth Livable. Chapter 7 is entitled Guides for Earth-Sized Living, First Peoples. This is a quotation from William Commanda, who's Minnowini and Algonquin in Canada in 1991. Traditional people of Indian nations have interpreted the two roads that face the light-skinned race as the road to technology and the road to spirituality. We feel that the road to technology has led modern society to a damaged and seared earth. Could it be that the road to technology represents a rush to destruction, and the road to spirituality represents the slower path that the traditional native people have traveled and are now seeking again? The earth is not scorched on this trail. The grass is still growing there. Isn't it something that many of us look to technology as a kind of an advance and as a savior, but by looking at the world as these two, according to these two paths, technology could be the rush to destruction? That resonates actually with what I'm seeing, despite all the many things that technology gives us. Now, the second quote is from a white man, Thomas Berry, who is a Catholic priest and enormously expansive in his consciousness. This is from his book, The Dream of the Earth. So I think it's also really instructive for us. Even minimal contact with the native peoples of this continent is an exhilarating experience in itself, an experience that is heightened rather than diminished by the disintegrating period through which they themselves have passed. In their traditional mystique of the earth, they are emerging as one of our surest guides into a livable future. So I share those quotations today. I think they're really instructive to us and helpful to us. And Jerry, I know I've been learning more and more as we've done these two interviews and created these two podcasts. So I'm going to throw this back to you to lead us into the interview you had with Lori.
Well, Lee, I was grateful to have met Lori, a courtesy of our Sierra Club leader and my friend, Jeannie Bocholt.
Lori, you're with a group called Strong Women of the Four Directions. Now, that comes from a Native American tradition. I'd like you to tell us what that group, what that name means, and where that comes from. I know what the four directions, of course, northeast, south, and west, but each one has significance. And just take your time and tell us about the underpinnings of that group.
Okay, so the four strong women of the four directions came up with the name because we're all strong women, and we come from different ethnic backgrounds, from different directions, and I thought that would be just a fit for the women's group. So you don't have to be Native American to attend the women's group. You just got to come with an open mind and just a strong spiritual sense of wanting to better yourself, your mind, body, and spirit. Just something strong within, and that you can bring to the group is whatever you have within yourself that you want. It don't have to pertain to drugs or alcohol. It don't have to pertain to domestic violence. It just has to have a strong well-being.
So the strong women are there to help each other, or are they involved in community projects?
Yes, both. We're there to support each other. And also, as the years went by, we started volunteering and doing a lot of volunteer work in the community and with different other organizations and groups. And now it's gotten to where we're actually teaming up with other groups to help them as well with whatever needs or volunteer work they need.
So it could include education and what other kinds of things?
Yes, education regarding what it is of to be a woman in the Native traditions, the spirituality of how we walk in different in our different paths. We're starting to do a lot of things with nature, doing a lot of cleanup work in the community, getting involved in the protests. We go on the march every year with the Children's March they have once a year and other marches they have throughout Siouxland area, Sioux Falls, Omaha.
And so some of these marches may be to try to prevent pipelines from coming in, to protect the water. We've heard a lot about the water protectors. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Yes, and also protesting for women's rights, or children's rights, standing up for our children that are in foster care, for the rights for parents, for the women, to help them, educate them, to help if their child was taken by CPS on what is the protocols and standards in the court system on how to get their children back and to continue looking for resources for them.
Now, I met you through our mutual friend, Jeannie, with the Sierra Club. And so I assume when you say you're working on projects for nature, it would be some of the programs, projects that the Sierra Club is also working on.
Yes. We attend their meetings, and we help with the Lois Hills, which is coming up next weekend, and also with whatever events that they have going on, we try to participate and learn more about their events and educate ourselves with the work that they do, the Sierra Club.
So, I'm so glad to see a group called Strong Women. Do you have some men allies?
No. It's all basic, just the women. Mm-hmm. And once in a while, we will have a male relative step up and present some of the songs that we learn in our group, some of the Native American songs, the prayer songs, and some of the teachings as part of the men's role for the women.
So do you meet regularly, like, say, once a month? And during those meetings, then you have music? And do you have speakers or business that you conduct?
Yes, we meet once a week on Thursdays from 6 to 7. Sometimes it goes over. We meet at the new Urban Native Center on Geneva Street here in Sioux City. And once in a while, we will do just a regular talking circle. But every time, I will have different of the women pray, and then we all learn a song while we're in the group too. And that's the song we sing at the end. And we do have a speaker come in once a month to talk about whatever topic that they do or what they know to help our women.
So how long has this group been going on? I know that the spirituality of the four directions is ancient. How long has this particular group been around?
We've been around for over 5.5 years. And we started with the group of, it was a dream, it was a vision of mine, because I'm a survivor of domestic violence. And so that's kind of where I aimed the group at in the beginning, was to help strengthen and pick up the women that were involved in abuse. And then as the years progressed, we just started adding on what the women wanted to learn, what was the need for the women, and then we went from there. But it's up to the women kind of what we want to do as a group, not just myself. So if they plan on wanting to go and garden, then we know who to reach out to. And 2 years ago, we went and planted gardens in each of the women's home, and they got to host, and they got to help. And so then we all learned from that and made gardens in the women's homes.
So you use the term Siouxland, and that's familiar to you and to me. But for our listeners out east, out west, Siouxland is a geographic region made up of the greater metropolitan Sioux City area in Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota. Now, tell us more about the spirituality, the roots of the four directions, if you would. Just a little bit for those people who aren't too familiar with Native American spirituality.
Okay, so the root of the four directions is the north, south, east, and west. In each direction and each color has a meaning and has a significant. So when we decided to name Strong Women of the Four Directions, actually we had a Native community center called Four Directions, and we thought that would just fit right in because that's where we started with the women's group. But it wasn't just for that center, because we traveled too, and we would travel as far as Des Moines to the women's center there. It's a treatment facility that I believe it has like 30 beds for women that are in treatment or got out of prison for whatever facilities. We would go there each year and have a huge talking circle and then make connections with some of the women there, so that some of the women, when they got out of treatment, some of them lived here in Sioux City, and so they would connect with us.
Now, please bear with my primitive understanding of a Native American spirituality. Would this relate in any way to other things that we might be more familiar with, such as powwows? Or hogans, those kinds of things?
Yes. And so part of our group, we would go to powwows together. And some of the women, if they didn't understand or grew up knowing about a powwow, we were there just to explain and help them understand. We do go to the sweat lodge and pray. Some of the women, we do go to sun dances. And we go to other women's talking circles or what other women's events.
So about how large is the group that meets each week, and about how many of them are natives and how many of them are non-natives?
Well, with a good group, it'd be like up to 10 women, and there are about 3 to 4 non-native women, and the other ones are native women that come from different tribes. So we try to use some of their tribal beliefs in one of our talking circles. And we do have younger girls that come. There's no certain age group. We believe that if you want to bring your kids so they can learn too. And we do have older women, the grandmas, that do come also. And they're more of a teachers for us.
We'll return momentarily to our conversation with Lori Payer, leader of Strong Women of the Four Directions. I want to say that One Earth Jubilee has taken another step to help us all counter the CO2 we put into the air as we drive our cars, fly away to places, heat or cool our home, and all the ways our lives release carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. So we can offset those tons of carbon dioxide by planting trees. It maybe sounds too simple, but you know, a plan has come out, a report, I should say, from really reputable report saying that if we plant 1 trillion trees here in the next decade, we'll reduce the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere by 25%. And they've measured where, assessed the land that's available for this, and they say there's plenty of land available. So that report, by the way, there's many places you can read about it. One is in Time magazine. And we'll give you a link to this report. Here's how you can calculate your carbon with the calculator online that's at terrapass.com, carbon footprint calculator. We'll give you the link in the show notes. Well, then you can donate the amount that the calculator tells you. You can donate it to the Jubilee Economics Tree Fund, or just put Tree Fund in the memo, Jubilee Economics in the who are you making it payable to, or you can donate it online with that notation. And then the two circles in Mexico and the one here in San Diego will work with trusted groups that plant trees. We got our first $200 donation in the last month since we last talked with you. And so we want to really encourage you to do this. There's good reason. It's a very practical way that we can reduce the carbon in the air by the carbon dioxide by 25%.
Because there are so many tribes in this region, the Dakotas, Lakotas, the Sioux, and that kind of thing. So there are many tribes. Do they have in common the idea of the four directions?
Yes. We do also have the Winnebagoes, the Omahas, the Ponca tribes right here. And we also do have women that come from the tribes from Montana, like the Cheyenne. And so in our talking circle, we use an eagle feather, and that's what's passed around. And some of the women that come from the tribes that can't touch an eagle feather, we use a stone, a rock, and that's what we hold as we speak.
Mm-hmm. Now, Lori, I'm going to ask you a question that may be too sensitive, and if it is, you can just pass, okay? Now, you happen to work at a casino, and the casinos have been a good and legitimate form of income for some of the tribes. Do you see any connection or any discrepancy, any conflict between your spiritual beliefs and gambling?
No. Actually, where I work, I don't want to say I'm a counselor there, but I'm a spiritual supporter for some of our employees that do have a hard time, and they know about our women's group, and they know the type of work that I do. So they come to see me for some kind of spiritual support, and the work that I do at the casino is benefits. So I do the health insurance, which in some cases we get some of our employees that maybe lost a loved one, and they'll come see me and just want to talk. And then if it is a female, then I do refer them to our women's group. And we do have some of our employees that will come to the women's group, not on a regular basis, but occasionally. And so throughout the area, we do get women that will come, I want to say about maybe 4 to 5 times a year, depending, because a lot of the women that came through and came to the women's group that was part of our women's group either have moved away, or they work, or some of them just, I don't know if they lost interest, but, you know, I'll see them from time to time. They get too busy.
Well, this is very interesting to me. And I do you have anything else you'd like to share about your personal beliefs, your personal work, your work with the group, your work at the casino, your work with the Sierra Club or any other group that would be helpful?
Well, I would just like to say that if you walk in balance and you have a strong spirituality to yourself, and your well-being is good, your mind, body, and spirit, and you feel that you would like to go out and help others, you don't have to just look for the strong women's group. You can, wherever you live, you can have a talking circle in your own home, in your own setting. So I have talking circles with my children, and what we do is we'll smudge, which is you burn sage and you smudge yourself, and we open up with a prayer, just like we do at the women's group. And I teach my kids on how to pray and believe in that prayer. And then I will have a talking circle just with all my family, my parents, my sisters, and we're able to just talk about anything. Maybe it's something that bothers us or something that we feel good about. It isn't nothing negative, or, you know, you can stick to the positive. It's whatever, how you feel. And we get, my family comes from a long line of spirituality, okay, and they're spiritual leaders, but also I know that's in everyone's family, you know, and I know that we all need help of some sort, of just somebody just to sit there and listen. We don't need 3, 4, 5 people in our women's group or in any group. You can just have just you and another person, and that can be your talking circle. So I just want to encourage people to express themselves in a healthy way when something bothers them, or if it's just them and they just want to have that time for themselves in more of a meditation type, they can do that as well. So,
thank you, Lori. Now that's the end of our formal conversation, but I'm going to leave the mic running for a little bit, and to just, if something comes up and you want to talk about it, that's fine. Now, my understanding is that the four directions also relate to the seasons. Is that what I understand?
Yes. We have four directions. We also have 7 directions.
Directions, I think, like one being up,
yeah,
one being
and,
down.
And one being is yourself.
Inward, okay.
Yeah. So the colors, we'll start off with the north is red. The east is yellow because that's where the sun rises. So that color's yellow. And the south is white because we believe that's where our spirit goes when it leaves the body, is south to the Milky Way. And then the color black is the west because that's where the sun sets. And that color's the unknown because we don't know if tomorrow will come or not. But what we do know is that we leave all, whatever we have, our worries, concerns, needs, or wants, or whatever, to Creator, and we give the gratitude, and we face the West. And when we're done with our talking circle, our women's group, whatever we're doing, wherever we're at, we will finish up facing the West, singing a thank you song, prayer song, whatever song that the women want to sing, and we leave it at that.
Oh, that's beautiful. So, Laurie, I understand that when you get together, food is an important part of your gatherings.
Yes, it is. We always just try to bring some kind of snack, food, you know, something to drink, just so it just helps us to feel more comfortable and trusting each other.
Tell us about your 30-day celebration.
The 30-day celebration in Winnebago is, it's called the Sacred Fire, and the Winnebagos will light this fire for 30 days, and they have different things throughout the day that they do, from the teachings, from having sweat, from having speakers, and from having just teaching them just some of the spirituality of the Winnebagos.
I understand you've been invited to a number of places to tell your personal story.
Yes, our women's group was invited down to Winnebago during the Sacred Fire last year. And we all sat in a teepee and we did a huge talking circle, but also we got to speak because it was in honor of Domestic Violence Month. And so I told my story, my survival story, actually.
Well, now, you've given some examples of how you've gotten involved. Would you consider this political activism, or is this strictly out of your Native American heritage? I mean, have you ever gotten in trouble, so to speak, with the law in order to protect the earth?
No, it just all comes from the Native American spirituality. When we did the march, because we have our own banner, we have our own tablecloth, we have our own Facebook page, but some of the women did actually go up to Standing Rock and protest, and they did not get in trouble.
Anything else you'd like to add, Lori?
I'd just like to say that part of our group, too, is some of the teachings of what it is that the women should have, the Native American women, what they should always have on them, and the medicines, like their medicine bag, their bundles, and knowing how to make their prayer ties, and also teaching them on how to do their ribbon skirts. We were invited to Winnebago for the domestic violence program. They had an event that we went down and made our ribbon skirts. But also we did have teachings from a couple of the elders in the community that showed us how to make our own medicine bags, and the teachings of what each medicine means and when to use it, how to use it. That's from the sage, cedar, sweetgrass, copal, bear root, bitter root, all that medicines that we should have.
Now, these are medicines, some of which you burn and inhale, some of which you might put in a drink and drink?
Yes, yes, on how to take care of yourself, like if you become starting to get sick or ill, and what to and how to care for your children when they are sick and ill too. And so we have one of the women from our women's group that is involved in our Native American college here. And each year she goes to each of the colleges, and they have built this big, huge medicine wheel, and each in that medicine wheel is the medicines, because she knows how to plan them, she knows a lot about it, so she's always out volunteering with that.
Excellent. Thank you, Lori.
You've been listening to the second half of our conversation with Lori Payer, leader of Strong Women of the Four Directions. In future episodes, we'll talk about workforce housing, ownership of work, you know, workforce ownership housing, and about my new book, The Wild Birth of Jesus, in parentheses, Untamed by Christmas. Have you listened to our recent episodes? In May, we heard from Stephen Cornett, a regenerative farmer. In June, we talked to Carrie Radloff, Sierra Club activist in Iowa. In July, Michael Patrick White Eagle O'Connor, Native American artist and earth activist. Well, listen to these. You're sure to pick up thoughts that you'll value, new thoughts that you haven't had before. We certainly did it as we created these episodes. And also, please subscribe to Jerry's Simpler Living Daily Nudge to get quick reminders of our blogs, our podcast episodes, and just other intriguing happenings and events. He always tells you something that reminds you how to live creatively in a simpler way. You'll also learn about non-conform freely celebrations and ways to honor rites of passage and holidays without consumerism.
Well, please tell us your thoughts on these subjects. Leave a message on the Jubilee One Earth Economics and Simple Living Works Facebook pages. Well, time to wrap up this episode. You can subscribe to this podcast under the names The Common Good Podcast and Simple Living Works at your favorite podcast service. Urge your friends to do the same. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works with co-host Lee Van Ham of Jubilee One Earth Economics, wishing you well as we strive together to bring simpler One Earth living into being for the common good.
Others can live.